Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Kevin.
I'm John.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies, and we're breaking them all the way down.
Hello, dear listeners, dear friends.
Hello, all.
Hi, John.
Happy holiday season. It's nearly upon us anyway.
Yeah, it's got to be in that neck of the woods.
A couple of weeks, yeah, till Thanksgiving now.
We are happy to be back with you again for another episode about Passenger 57.
Yes.
Die Hard sort of.
Die Hard ripoff.
Yeah, basically.
Die Hard on a plane. Die Hard on a plane. Die Hard at an airstrip.
And greetings and salutations to all of our listeners on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network. Thanks for listening. And there's one particular guy. I think he's our harshest critic.
Oh.
He's always complaining that despite us being 6 degrees of Schwarzenegger, why don't we have more Schwarzenegger movies? So we do need to get back to something Arnold.
Is it time to return to the
well? We've got to, I guess. But like, look, we try to explain it. It's the era of Arnold.
Yeah.
Arnold was the centerpiece, but if we only talked Arnold movies, we'd be through them all pretty quick.
And again, it's 6 degrees of Schwarzenegger. All of these things are related. They happen at roughly the same time, similar plots.
They all are. It's a nebulous, sort of incestuous
family
tree of movies.
And I guarantee you that if we went through the production team list, we'd find 14 guys that worked with Arnold that also worked on this movie at some point. So
absolutely.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah. Whippersnapper.
We appreciate you listening.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, we'll be back to Arnold soon enough.
Keep that animus coming, though.
Yeah. Keep listening and keep being mad. I love it.
That should be our tagline from now on.
I just hate. I'll take hate listeners any day.
Hell yeah. Just as long as you listen.
But so I'll try to catch us up on what's happened up to this point in the film.
What in the world? Yeah. So we're up to the 47th or so minute of the film.
And I mean, it'll probably take me about 47 seconds to sum it up. But basically, you got Wesley Snipes playing the character John Cutter. He's a airline security specialist.
Right.
He's been hired by Atlantic International Airlines to head up their anti-terrorist task force, whatever.
Sly Del Vecchio.
Yep. The wonderful Tom Sizemore. So he's on a cross-country flight to be introduced to the board of directors or some type thing.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know it, the FBI has also placed a famous international airplane hijacker on the flight to be transported to Los Angeles to stand trial.
Weird.
So that guy, Charles Rain, he has planted his own crew of bad dudes on the plane, and they've taken over.
Does any of this sound familiar?
Yeah. We've got a fly in the ointment, a monkey in the wrench
The
plane in the form of Cutter. He has forced the plane to make an emergency landing in Lake Lucille, Louisiana. Yep. He's fallen off the plane, basically.
Right.
And been scooped up by the local law enforcement, who instantly, by nature of him being a black man, they think they should be detaining him. And Rain is basically negotiated with the sheriff to put some fuel in this plane, and I'll release some of the hostages.
Or the blood of dozens will be on your hands.
Yeah, so
that's a good
close
job,
enough.
Man. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice job.
There's a flight attendant, Marty, on board, who's sort of like sidekick-ish.
Right. She's sort of, at this point, she's not quite Cindy from Commando, but she's...
No, yeah, she's not as involved in the action.
But there's no romantic chemistry between them. as yet. Except for that very, very first scene.
Yeah, they had a little, they had a run in a training session. Where there was a little bit of sparks flying.
But she at this point is, she's been caught by Rain and been smacked around and she's being forced to do what she's told.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll run this thing.
Do
so,
it.
So out on the tarmac, a truck labeled aviation fuel rolls up as bodies are being bagged up and loaded onto ambulances.
Yeah.
A stair car is rolled into position to start unloading passengers from the plane as agreed.
You're going to get a lot of hop-ons. Oh, yeah. That's just what I think every time. You're going to get some hop-ons.
For Arrested Development, yes. So inside the control tower or room or whatever that this little airstrip has, the deputies wrestle a struggling Cutter in front of Chief Biggs. They tell the chief that they found him down by the plane and he attacked them, which sounds sounds familiar. Cutter says
it's
that
more
if,
bull. That's the more bullshit. That's, I mean, these are like cartoonish portrayals almost.
It's except like Keystone.
And also we see this same shit in real life all the time. Yeah. The same type of just blatant lies.
He attacked me.
He attacked us.
Yeah. So Cutter says if he'd been attacked, that he wouldn't be the one bleeding, which is a fair point. So Biggs asks, well, why were you down in the airfield? Cutter says that he's head of security for the airline and was a passenger on that flight. Biggs says, and he's not wrong, you're not doing a very good job, sir.
That was kind of hilarious.
The fault is the FBI's, to be fair. But,
true.
But yeah, not doing a great job. Cutter asks, hey, why is that fuel truck labeled fuel airline fuel outside? Big says, you know, I've negotiated the release of half the hostages. And Cutter's like, no, you can't make any deals with this guy, Rain, because he can't be trusted.
And we've mentioned before, like, Cutter seems very aware of Rain and his tendencies.
Right. All of a sudden, it's
I suppose that's part of his job, maybe his expertise is to know who these key terrorists in the world are.
Yeah, it would have made more sense if he'd been the one like, oh, I know this guy. Like if he'd said to Marty or something at some at some point, like, I know this guy, you know, I've heard about him in my line of work. He's like the, you know, the Dillinger or whatever fucking airline hijackers. But anyway, just then the kindly old lady that helps run the airstrip tells the chief that Rain is on the horn. Rain tells Biggs that Cutter was a part of the crew of terrorists and betrayed him and to feel free to kill him since I might not get a chance. He describes him as a black man, very smooth and convincing.
This is so weird.
Biggs instantly draws his gun on Cutter. Like, he's like, I believe it, this black, I knew it.
Instantly.
Yeah.
He says, instantly trusts the terrorist.
Yeah. He says, you're one of his. And he says, I know motherfuckers. And then Cutter says, I know motherfuckers who said they saw Elvis in a goddamn mall. You going to believe that shit too? Which, again, a great point. But like, yeah, just instantaneously, like, I got, well, the terrorist must be right. This black man can't be trusted. So Biggs checks Cutter's ID, sees that it is as he says, but still hesitant to believe him.
This doesn't say anything. This says you're some kind of security specialist.
He's like, put yourself in my place, Mr. Cutter. What would you do if you were me? Kill myself. Yeah.
Shit.
Pretty awesome.
Cutter's not making it easy on himself.
Cutter never does. Cutter is not a likable guy. But anyway, on the plane, Rain instructs Sabrina, played by Elizabeth Hurley, to wait 1 hour and then take off. That'll give me the time I need to escape. She's like, let me come with you. But he's like, no, I need you to stay here on board and carry out the plan.
Which, we don't know what the plan is.
No, and it's never revealed what the plan
is. Never. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't sound like it's great for the people who are getting left behind on the plane.
Nope. No.
Also, the music in this bit was straight up like Die Hard-ish sounding.
It
wasn't
did.
That other jazzy score.
Yeah, there's this like this motif like that keeps playing over and over again. That sounds like, very like Horner and those guys.
It's straight up. Anyway.
So, yeah, he tells her to start killing passengers if the authorities won't let them take off.
Then she smiled at like the prospect of getting to kill passengers.
Fuck yeah, that's
she
what,
is. Nuts.
That's what I signed up for.
I'm sure she is amazing in bed. The character Sabrina, she's just insane.
Yeah, but you like never want to see that person again.
Well, she's the type of person who's gonna like at the moment of climax, like produce a razor blade and slash your
praying
throat.
Praying mantis style.
Produce a razor blade that she has hidden below her tongue.
Right.
Fuck. Slice your throat.
So outside, we see the plane door open and passengers come running out. Back inside the plane, we see Rain take the elevator down to the underbelly.
What was weird is, as the passengers come running out, to my knowledge, no one has been hurt.
Right.
But like, paramedics are just administering the hell out of first aid on the tarmac. Like, they had people, they were giving them oxygen and
maybe
checking them over.
And that makes sense, though. Especially if they'd had, like, what could have been a rough landing, or people were like, the plane was herky and jerky and my knees are hurting because I need to sue the airline after this is over.
How many
lawsuits came from this incident?
I wonder if there's fine print on every airline ticket.
I'm sure that there is.
It's
there
probably
are
like if
conditions.
You crash. Also, like, if we crash, this is how much...
Yeah.
Your settlement is
right. Exactly.
Type stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff is pre-taken care of. So we then cut to Forget overseeing the debarking. One passenger tries to force his way off the, like, just tries to, like, hurriedly cut in line, and Forget guns him down in the aisle.
Yeah, what was that dude's deal?
Like, dude, you're getting off the plane. You're in line.
There was
Chill.
No reason for him to, like, want to rush.
No.
But also would have been so easy to fix some of these things.
Yeah.
Like, you could have just, Forget could have said, all right, five more people are getting off.
And then, yeah.
And then he tries to rush from the back of the line. It would be so easy.
Yeah.
To have these, to make these things make
sense. Yeah. And the budget of this movie wasn't huge. So, anyway, so this, the gunning down of this rando sparks a panic among the passengers that are getting off the plane. In the commotion, Rain, Vincent, and the bookish goon drop out of the landing gear unnoticed by anyone.
Uh-huh.
And walk toward the carnival adjacent, just right next door to the airport.
Yes. Which made me think maybe Forget was under orders to shoot somebody.
Maybe, but
some
that guy
point,
sure
just to cause
shit
a
made
commotion.
It different. Like, and if that was the case, then there should have been some communication between Rain and him, like, before he got
you
off the plane.
Know what
to
do,
like, you know what to do. Yeah, that it would have been.
That's what I'm saying. These things are so easy to make it make sense more
like
than.
It would have been, like, if all Rain would have had to do is look at Forget and say, 5 minutes, and then you could have shown Forget looking at his watch, 5 minutes, and then he just blows someone away.
Yeah,
just anyway.
These things. It's not that complicated, or
no.
Shouldn't be.
No. So how in the blue fuck no one saw the three bad guys jump off the plane is quite beyond me.
Well, I think that's like, I guess when the shooting happened, then people started scrambling.
There's
around.
No, but nobody. They don't stop looking at the plane. There had to be cops
true.
Or somebody like watching the
Did
goings
on. Did
they
drop out of the landing gear?
Yeah, they came off the landing gear or like one of those little side doors or something.
Yeah, somebody should have seen it, but there wasn't enough big law enforcement presence yet, right?
Yeah,
there was the paramedics and...
I guess, but I still feel like Chief Biggs could have had another couple of uniforms
you
out there.
A
like
a spotter or something. Yeah,
something. Anyway, in the control tower, Cutter is trying to warn Biggs that this is some kind of a trick. He's not wrong. Biggs tells his deputies to haul Cutter downstairs and shoot him if need be, but in the leg, he might be telling the truth.
That actor, man, he is rock solid with like his Buford T. Justice type shit.
That's exactly
shit,
what
know?
I thought too, yeah.
In the leg, he might be telling the truth.
Yeah.
It's
so,
good stuff, man.
As they're like...
Then he asked for some Bufferin.
Yeah. Can you make me some of your special coffee?
I wondered if Bufferin paid for that mention.
That was awesome. Just,
like, I hadn't thought about Bufferin.
Same, baby.
Since I think they used to maybe advertise on the Braves games
some
back in the day.
Some fucking goody powder or something.
Goody's headache powder.
My dad still rocks the goody powder.
That's available still?
Oh, yeah. In the little packets. I don't even know how you do it, but he like opens the little packets and just like you shoot it right in
your
mouth.
What are you supposed to do? Dissolve it in water and drink it?
Yeah, but he like...
He just dumps it in?
Dumps it
like
in his mouth.
Pixie stick?
Yeah, exactly like a pixie stick. So anyway, as these guys are escorting Cutter down the stairs, he gets the jump on them, disables both of them and escapes. I love the funky music that cranks up during the ass whooping though.
Well, there was a bit right before that sort of set it off where, you know, Cutter's trying to tell him they're making a mistake and he's like, shut up, boy. Like, shut up, boy. You ain't said shit I want to hear. And I'm like, yeah, that's that one definitely had like the racially charged
absolutely
vibe going on. So we forgive Cutter for just fucking whipping their asses.
Definitely. So outside, Cutter runs up and this motorcycle cop tries to like stop him. I can't really know who he is.
No,
but
for no particular reason. He's like, whoa.
That black man's running. So anyway, Cutter fucking roundhouse kicks that dude.
It was like a jumping, spinning kick.
I loved it. I was like, that's some straight up guile from Street Fighter shit.
That poor guy, he didn't deserve to get concussed like that.
There's some ribs broken or something. So police cars pursue Cutter across the tarmac.
Cutter's making hostages dive out of the way as he charges them down with that motorcycle. Cruiser.
Yeah. So he's like, he crashes through a locked gate.
It seems like it would crash you probably.
Yeah, but it's you have to understand that it's very important that they stop the black man, but not the three white terrorists who slithered out the bottom of the plane.
Sure.
Anyway, the busted up deputies run back to Biggs. Chief, prisoner got away. No shit, Earl. That line made me laugh. I giggled at that. No shit, Earl. Want us to head out? Why is that, Luther? So we can get more practice whooping your dumb ass? It's so good. Such good interactions between the yokels. So Biggs tells them to get back up, get over there, and not to use deadly force unless there's no other option.
Right.
So my question is, how did Cutter know to go to the carnival, to the fairgrounds? Because it's the closest thing nearby.
It's a great question.
How did he know to pursue to the carnival, to the fairgrounds?
First of all, Cutter doesn't even know that Rain got off the plane.
No.
It'd be one thing if he knew Rain had gotten off the plane and where's the most likely place he would maybe try to go and disappear or blend in or whatever. Then I would buy it. But he doesn't even know he's off the plane, like, you needed, again, you could have had him up in the tower saying, they're getting I see it, and they're like climbing down the landing gear right now. And then they're like, get him out of here.
The only thing
that
even remotely comes close is because he tells Biggs, this is a trick. This unloading of the passengers thing's a trick. And so he knows that when the gunshot is fired and all that stuff, that he's like, oh, he must be making a getaway. But like, none of that is communicated. And it's asinine to assume that this guy who hasn't seen, and that there's been no dialogue to establish it, would just be like, fairground. It's got to be at the fairground.
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah.
Anything. It's like a thing that as an audience member, if you're just watching and you're half drunk or whatever, then we've seen him get off and he's heading to the fairground. So we know Cutter's doing the right thing.
Right.
But there's no way in hell that Cutter could know that he's off the plane and heading to the fairgrounds.
So the only thing that I can reckon is total agreement with Roger Ebert's take on this movie, which was that Cutter would only know or only think to go to the fairground to look for the bad guys because he'd seen enough movies where the good guys go to the carnival or the fairground to look for the bad guys because that's where they would go.
That's
to hide
where
amongst the
cool,
normal people.
That's where the cool action can happen,
right?
Also,
you're going to have weird music. You're going to have like
bright colors and lights and
like
rides.
You're going to have an undercurrent of dread and despair and, you know, action happening in this very
a lot of
boisterous
bystanders.
Yeah. That's the only way I could figure it.
Yeah.
So
it's
meanwhile,
a great fucking point.
At the fairgrounds, the bad guys are unsuccessfully trying to steal a car as Cutter rolls up on the bike and just like flings the bike on the ground. Vincent,
stealing cars is apparently out of these guys, wheelhouse.
Bookish goon doesn't know how this works. So Vincent goes for his gun, but Rain stops him saying, you know, we'll take care of Cutter. And Vincent, you should go get a car and meet us across the fairground in 10 minutes.
Which I didn't even get that. Like, unless they were saying, you know, if my thought was maybe he's thinking if we start shooting, then our escape will be ruined. Like
I don't know.
They'll at least know we've gotten off the plane if there's a shooting at the fair.
I don't know. This is Louisiana. It seems like a shooting at the fair would be old hat. Cutter ditches the bike, rushes into the fairgrounds as more police arrive. Back at the airstrip, the FBI have finally shown up and ask Biggs for a debrief. Biggs tells the agent in charge, Henderson, to settle in.
That dude, Henderson, is played by Robert Hooks, who's Kevin Hooks' dad, the director's dad. That's kind of cool.
That's very cool.
He was also like a good ass performance.
I was about to say,
he was good.
He was one of the more memorable guys in the thing. So,
they show a cutaway of the plane.
Right.
And B-roll. Passengers are pouring down the stairs again.
100
like,
people.
This is clearly footage from earlier because they had stopped letting people off the plane,
right.
But they didn't have any B-roll of the plane with no one getting off it, apparently.
Inconsistent B-roll. So back at the fair, Cutter steals a box of popcorn in an attempt to blend in.
I don't know how that makes him any less conspicuous.
I feel like if anyone had seen the black man steal popcorn, he also would have been shot.
Citizen's arrest.
Yeah, exactly. So as he's walking around surveying the mostly very white crowd, he passes Rain's miscellaneous bookish goon who begins to follow him.
I cannot stress in strong enough terms how much it bothers me that that goon had his shirt unbuttoned, but also tucked into his pants. Like it was unbuttoned all the way down.
It's a look.
And then it was tucked into the pants.
It's a look, baby.
It was insane to me.
Kevin, they've got all kind of whack shit at this fair, including rednecks, Shriners, rebel flags, a giant inflatable Budman.
There was a lot of Budweiser product placement and Tabasco.
Yeah.
At the fair.
Delicious. Two things you need for a...
Hell yeah.
For a... son of a gun time
a
on the bayou.
Crawfish boil
on the bayou.
Or something.
Yeah. So just then Cutter spots Rain and starts to pursue him.
Rain gives him a smirk.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, so.
Come follow me.
You're supposed
Wouldn't
to sense
you
these traps,
yeah,
aren't you,
Don't
Cutter?
Do it then. So meanwhile, back at the airstrip, the terrorists are not responding to the FBI's attempts to hail them. Big says, all we can do is wait. Then idly says, man, I hope that Cutter guy was telling the truth. Okay. Agent Henderson is bowled over by the mention of the name John Cutter and asks what happened to him. Big says that Cutter told him, he told me he was on the plane, but then he beat up a couple of my guys and headed to the fairgrounds, but don't worry, we're going to catch him. And Henderson's like, well, then I hope you got a good early retirement plan.
Biggs had asked Henderson, how do you know Cutter?
Yeah.
Which is a fucking good question.
He's a fucking legend in every law enforcement circle somehow.
Everyone's heard of him, apparently.
It doesn't make it, like, again,
yeah.
Has he saved people on an airliner before? Like,
in the
fuck?
Context of, I think, the original script, maybe he had in a way. Like, we mentioned that in the original script, his wife, Lisa, had died in an attack on a plane that he was also on board in. But yeah, his reputation precedes him.
He's like the throughout. Fucking Sherlock Holmes of airline security, I guess.
Apparently, so, yeah.
Yeah, so then Henderson tells the other FBI guys you go look for Cutter. And then he looks at Biggs and he's like, you better see to it that your men don't harm Cutter or I'm going to press charges against you personally.
I bet that was another big like crowd pleaser moment in the theaters. It's like, fucking, yeah, put this redneck
this
sheriff
honky,
in his place.
Honky ass in his place. So Biggs looks nervous because he done fucked up.
He knows he's got a squad full of bad apples.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Lots of police brutality there in Lake Lucille. So back at the fair, Cutter trails Rain into the livestock tent. the bookish goon is there too, still tailing Cutter.
Did you see Rain started just eating popcorn out
with
of another
child.
Girl's little box of popcorn.
Yeah, so across the children's square dancing ring, Cutter and Rain lock eyes while Rain is eating popcorn from this little girl's container.
Fucking weird shit.
And as Cutter makes his move, bookish goon shoots at Cutter, but shoots and kills a clown instead. good riddance.
What
really.
A wonderful plan.
Yeah.
It's just shoot him when he's not looking.
Open fire. In this tent full of people.
I don't know if you read this. What I read here is an awesome thing that I read. Like, if it seems like there was a lot of high schoolers in the crowd, it's because there were, because Wesley Snipes, who is from Orlando,
did a thing
with his high school, too.
I did read that.
The kids with the top grade point averages get to be extras and get paid to be in the
That's
movie.
That's awesome.
That's fucking badass.
That
That's like
super
a stand-up.
Badass.
Cool thing to
it
do.
Is.
I love that shit.
It almost makes it okay that he cheated on his taxes or whatever and had to go to jail. We forgive you, Wesley. Come back to us. I think it's time for a reboot of Passenger 57. They call it Passenger 58.
Yeah, sure.
So Cutter flees. Now the chaser has become the chased.
Exactly.
Cutter flees as Rain and the book goon give chase. Cutter leaps onto a moving Ferris wheel. Rain opens fire, but misses because I guess of the way he's hanging off the car of the Ferris wheel.
I guess so. He's hanging.
I love the operator shuts it off and runs away.
Just sprinted.
Fuck this.
Well, it's why would he even bother shutting it off? It's just a weird thing because it was convenient. It needed to happen for the action.
Yeah, but also I feel like maybe in his mind, he's like, the people will be safer if they're not moving and there's gunfire. I don't know.
I don't know either.
The goon can't seem to figure out how the controls of the Ferris wheel work, so he just starts climbing the thing. Cutter is stopped on his car, like, up at the very top, and ostensibly Rain can see him because he's sitting still.
Yeah.
Right? So the guy, the goon, bookish goon, reaches the top and draws on the car, but
it's
no
empty
Cutter.
Now.
Somehow Cutter vanished without anyone seeing it, including Rain, who should have been watching him this whole time from below.
Yeah.
Then suddenly we see Cutter jump out of the machinery from above the guy and kick him off of the ride, killing him.
Sure. Yeah. Falls to his death.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
Rain watches sort of disinterestedly in all this. He's just like, meh. He just sort of shrugs it off. And like, so as
he's just going to walk away.
Yeah. It's what it looks. So as Cutter slides down off the ride, Rain sees him. Fires some shots that don't land, then starts chasing him again.
That his dismount, Cutter's dismount from the ride, I thought was pretty sweet.
Yeah,
like sliding down the poles and stuff.
Just then some more law enforcement start to show up, a healthy mix of FBI and Lake Lucille and adjacent counties. Cutter jumps onto the carousel, as does Rain, who just starts to shoot like just wildly. I wish he'd just been like just flailing his arm just around because that it would have had a as good a shot of hitting him.
The fact that this section of the film ends without there being like a sequence in a hall of mirrors is a travesty.
It is a travesty, but what's more of a travesty is that there's a literal chase around the merry-go-round.
Yeah.
This is so fucking dumb.
Well, this was like a great opportunity for Rain to disappear in the chaos.
Yeah.
But he just has to stay and try to kill Cutter.
Why did so much of the action happen on the merry-go-round?
I don't know, because
why did the two of them sprint around this thing like hamster on a wheel instead of just get off and wait and shoot him?
For him to
like,
come around? Yeah.
This is so dumb. So anyway.
Rain doesn't think of that until he runs out of bullets.
I did not. Yeah, Rain seems to realize this too late. He jumps off and reloads his gun. So Cutter comes back around on the carousel and jumps right off, like missiles himself into Rain and wrestles the gun away. Police arrive and dive on Cutter, of course, and Rain, restraining them both. And the FBI, thank God, are like, no, let him go. Cutter says that the third man, Vincent from earlier, he's still on the loose. He's been sent to go look for a car. And then Cutter describes him to the feds, failing to mention like, he's beat to all hell. His face is like he's been punched to shit. He's got bruises all over his face.
That's I guess there he's just like content to assume that Vincent like hasn't just run off. He must still be around. I don't know.
It's, like
he wouldn't even know that Vincent got off the plane either. He hasn't seen him.
No. Nope. He hasn't.
This is also stupid.
It's at that moment that we see some paramedics rushing onto the scene. And as they pass, Vincent steps into frame looking very, very ominous and suspicious.
Staring down that one paramedic that's left with the ambulance.
Right, like, yeah, he looks over at the guy. He's like making a call on the CB. And it's like, you know, that guy's about to die.
That poor schmuck.
Yeah. So at that moment, we see Delvecchio's helicopter landing at the airstrip 5 hours later.
Yeah, that thing has made incredible time. Or a lot of time has passed.
Right.
No, but it hasn't because as he's landing, that's when the vehicles are returning from
convoy,
the fairground.
A convoy of police cars are coming back. More aircraft B-roll on showcase here. So Agent Henderson introduces himself, says he's heard a lot about Cutter.
Cutter says the pleasure's mutual, which doesn't even, that's a non sequitur for what was just said. I've heard a lot about you. The pleasure's mutual.
Yeah.
What?
What? Those two. We don't have agreement between these two clauses.
What is the backstory here? Like, though, how is it that I've heard a lot about you from who?
That's what we had discussed in the first episode. Like, what Cutter's background was? It ex-military? Did he used to work for the FBI or something like that? And then he went, you know, private, working for the airline industry, or was it that he was airline industry and then went to work for the FBI and then went back to work for the airline?
Like, he like an American sniper type, like a celebrity soldier or something?
He was the Black Frank Dukes.
Oh shit! Yes,
he was working special ops. Deep
He's done
cover.
It all. Everyone's heard of me. I'm the best martial artist in the world.
That is exactly what this feels like. Oh shit! You're John Cutter.
I heard of you.
What you did in Sri Lanka.
Everyone's like, heard. Or it's like
John Matrix. I heard what you did in Indonesia. That thing you did in Beirut. Yeah. He has a fucking thing. Like, you're a fucking legend. Jason Bourne. Anyway, so Delvecchio walks up and Cutter unloads on him for not telling him that Rain would be on that flight. Delvecchio is like, hey, that's the Fed's fault. They didn't tell the airline anything about it.
Yeah.
So as Rain is led past, Henderson gets in his face and says that he knew the agents that Rain killed on the flight. Rain thanks him for telling him that information because he enjoys meeting people whose lives he's touched.
Asshole.
Yeah, fucking crazy ass. So Cutter grabs him and threatens him. Rain reminds him that they still need to worry about the remaining passengers and that his people have been instructed to start killing passengers in 20 minutes if he's not released.
Which is not the truth, right?
Right.
That's not the plan he left them with.
Unless that's the plan... That's inside the plan when he says stick to the plan.
As if nothing else, he had said, you know, if they haven't refueled and let you take off in an hour, then start killing people. So maybe it's 20 minutes until the hour is up and it's fair. It's true enough that they'll start killing people if they haven't been told something.
All I can think
different.
Is I would not be surprised if Rain has no plan. There is no plan. The plan is
that there is no plan. Yeah, that's the twist.
That's why
we're going to fly until we run out of fuel and crash in the ocean.
That's why it's genius. They'll never suspect I have no plan. So Henderson tells his guys to get Rain inside. Then he leads Cutter, Biggs, and Delvecchio inside as well and starts like laying out the FBI's plan. They'll tell the bad guys that Rain is going to be allowed to reboard the flight. FBI agents will escort Rain onto the plane, at which point snipers will take out Rain and whatever terrorist comes to the door to let him in. Cutter's like, you know, wire me up and I'm going to ID the bad guys. But you guys need to take Rain out first. Very adamant on that point.
Yeah.
Other agents will then deploy tear gas and raid the plane.
The plan actually sounds pretty decent.
Yeah, it does sound decent. Delvecchio, of course, doesn't like the plan, saying it's too dangerous, but Cutter points out that Rain's already killed hostages and he's certainly going to kill more. Yeah, we can bank on that at this point.
Sure.
Henderson says, you know, I'll go talk to Rain, tell him that we've agreed to release him. But Cutter's like, no, let me go talk to him alone.
Let's stop and recognize at this moment that Cutter doesn't even formally work for the airline yet. Like, and he sure as hell doesn't work for law enforcement. He's just a guy. He's like, no, you let me go in there and tell him. And everyone just defers.
Yeah, like, okay, oh, definitely.
This is going to be great.
Sounds good.
He's like, whatever the law enforcement response would be, this is probably spoiling their case.
Right.
You just let some civilian in there to negotiate or whatever.
But it's John Cutter.
That's true.
Whoever the fuck that is.
It's John Cutter. Oh, shit. You're John Cutter.
Oh, damn. Your reputation precedes you, sir. So anyway, we cut and we see Vincent arriving on the tarmac in an ambulance and dressed as a paramedic. So we know that that's going to end poorly.
The monkey in the wrench.
That's right.
The pain in the ass.
He enters the airport, not stopped, not deterred,
not at all.
ID checked.
You got an ambulance? Come on in.
Come right on in, sir. Inside the airstrip, Cutter enters the room where Rain's being held and orders the guys guarding him out.
Those dudes are just happy to take orders from Cutter.
Yeah.
Just some
dude. Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Whatever you say, sir.
Rain praises Cutter as a worthy adversary and laments that their time together will soon be over. Cutter threatens Rain, saying that basically prison will be the least of his worries if more hostages die. Rain says they both know that he'll never end up in prison because the authorities will never risk the needless deaths of the hostages. Cutter says, yeah, that's probably true. So maybe I should kill you myself. Right here. But then things get weirdly philosophical and also just like some weird like racist shit. So you wouldn't take advantage of a helpless man, would you? It's never stopped you. Ah, that's the American way, isn't it, brother?
Mm-hmm.
You should know. You're used to being taken advantage of. Is he talking about like slavery here?
That I think yes. Okay. I think it's a comment about historically black people in America being taken advantage of.
Right.
That's definitely how you're used to
getting very social commentary. Then Rain says that he knows that Cutter has the same drive to kill as he has. I know the breed, Cutter.
Oh, yeah. That line and delivery from Bruce Payne is excellent. I thought that. I know the breed. Yeah. That's like stuck in my head even all these years later when I was rewatching the movie. I was like, oh, I remember that line.
Yeah, it's yeah, he's definitely talking some racist smack right now. So they tussle a little bit as Cutter loses his patience. He's like, nah, I'm sick of your shit. You need the passengers? I want the plane. Put me back on board and the passengers will be released. Yeah, right. I'm supposed to trust you?
Uh-huh.
Trust your instincts. My instincts are to wax your ass all over this floor. And then, those are your emotions acting without the benefit of intellect. It's like...
Is that like another shot at his, like...
I think so.
Mental like, capacity?
It's like, yeah, it's like... Basically saying, like, black people are animals.
You could never be as intelligent as I am.
Right. It's like eugenics. So now the passengers' lives are in your hands. Don't fail them. So Cutter shoves Rain back down into his chair and leaves the room. And Rain sort of, like, smirks ominously.
Yeah.
Knowingly. Like,
But this was Cutter's plan, right? Like, right. Cutter's accomplished his objective, which is to let Rain think he's in control.
I think so, yeah.
I think this whole scene went down exactly the way Cutter wanted it to.
Right.
Another weird thing I noticed, there was a bizarre poster in the office for Flex Bodybuilding with this buff ass chick on it. And I was just like, that is odd.
Some American Gladiator shit.
Yeah, dude. It was like Sky or something.
I love that. I love it. Electra, I did not notice that. I was mesmerized by
the
Payne's
tour de force,
yeah.
Acting.
Yeah, it was good.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. This was a good segue. It was like Fast and Furious. The whole part at the carnival, I'm still like what? It's like Die Hard 2 is supposed to be, you know, Die Hard on a plane, but then it's like you've got all this action that's like not on the plane. So
all throughout this movie, so much of it just feels like the stakes are so small and the stage they're on is so small.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, yeah, we can set this carnival up for pretty cheap, you know, like it just feels like the movie was done on like a hella cheap, like a shoestring budget.
Yeah.
And maybe it was, but it got a pretty wide release and performed well.
Yeah.
It just feels like,
I mean, it way out made what it was made for.
I feel like there wasn't a lot of quality control and like a lot of thought and love and care.
Yeah. Maybe they were just like, we got to get this thing out. You guys, come on.
Let's just crank that shit out, down and dirty.
Got to get it out.
Yeah, but it stood the test of time. Here we are.
Yeah, so 30
years
who
later.
Knows? Who knows whose plan? Is it going to be Cutter's plan? Is it going to be Rain's not a plan?
Do either people even have a plan?
I feel like Cutter's got a plan. Okay. Rain is content to not have one. He's not in it for the money. What is he in it for? The notoriety?
He's
the
in
infamy?
It for the adrenaline
the
rush.
Infamy? He's Bodhi, but he's not into surfing. He's not into anything. He's got his money. He doesn't need to raise money.
He's an aristocrat.
He's independently wealthy. Maybe. All right. So I'm convinced then he probably has used his exorbitant wealth to fund Middle Eastern like freedom fighters during the Arab Spring or something.
Shit.
And that they're shielding him and that's why like he can't be touched.
Well, I was thinking this the other day. I think there's people in the world like certain terrorists or Bin Laden or something who would sit around and watch.
They want to watch the world
watch
burn,
the
baby.
Chaos and the destruction that they cause and like delight. And that might be like, that might be what Rain lives for.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Just like, what is the Batman? Like, some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
Like,
you're just
this
a chaos
is what
engine.
I'm in for it. This is what I'm in it for is just to.
But that's also
to stir shit up.
That reminds me of, you know, Heath Ledger's line in Dark Knight is plan. I don't have a plan.
That's
what this feels
I'm
like.
I'm just a sort of an anarchist type of dude.
He's got lots of, and that's what I was saying about his wealth. That's what I was getting to is that he's probably got his money is tied up in oil and securities in like the
so
UAE
or
Saudi Arabia and things like that. And so he's like, they're invested in him. He's invested in them. And that's how his money doesn't get, you know, there are no sanctions or anything on his wealth. He's probably got it all like tucked in the Middle East somewhere.
Okay.
That was my point of bringing it back to
it
that.
It totally could be. I mean, they just never give us any of this information.
Right.
The screenplay doesn't.
He's probably been disowned by the UK.
Sure. Yeah. He's got to be like a citizen without a country.
But his shit
something.
Is tied up elsewhere. But anyway, That's a lot of conjecture. And that's the end of this exciting chapter. This is the penultimate
chapter
of Passenger 57. We hope you guys are enjoying the ride. If not, please put your oxygen mask on first and then help the person next to you. And we'll see you next time.
We'll be back.